The sermon topic that you have on your bulletin is not the right one, obviously. The sermon topic today is hope or no hope. So I'd like to start out with just a quick word of prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you come down upon me right now, Lord Jesus, and that you just take everything that you want done here, Lord Jesus, and just put it in my mouth and make the words come out. Make it not of me, make it of you. Make it of the heavenly reign, not the worldly reign. Open the eyes of each person here, open the ears of each person here to hear what you want them to hear. Not what I want them to hear, but what you want them to hear. Take your word now, Lord Jesus, as we read and we give you all the honor and blessings. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. Do you have hope or do you have no hope? Oh. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. Okay? So take that in mind. From the beginning, as we read in the Bible, we see hope and no hope. We've seen Adam and Eve try to hide from God. They were hoping God wouldn't find them. We also see the Israelites when God parted the seas. I don't know about you, but I would be walking through that dry land thinking, boy, I hope that sea doesn't come crashing down on me. They spent 40 years in the desert hoping that they'd have food, water, and be able to get out of the desert. They were hoping. Even Peter, the disciple of Jesus, denied him 3 times. Why? Because he was hoping that they wouldn't crucify him for knowing Jesus. So this goes on and on and on. Most of you, some of you might not, but most of you know my story. When I, way back when, I think it was 2001, I was hopeless in my life. I swear, I was hopeless. I had no hope whatsoever. I was ready to end it. I didn't care. It seemed like my marriage was failing. I wasn't doing well with the kids. And just didn't feel right. Something was missing. But you know what? I went to a retreat. And I found what I was missing. And that was Jesus. My life took a whole 180. All of a sudden, I went from having no hope to having all the hope in the world. Because I found this Jesus. Now, let's look. I'm going to look at why I came up with this hope. And that would be in Matthew 24. Verses 29-31. Since you didn't have a Bible, look it up ahead of time, I'll give you a minute. Got it? Okay. It reads, immediately after the tribulation, of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and all the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear a sign. The Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming from the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. That means a lot to me. Look what we got forward to. Look what we get to look forward to. Christ's return. He's going to take his elect back with him. Who's his elect? You're his elect. Everyone who believes in him is his elect. Yes, Christ is going to return. And did you know? He's returning for you. And you, and you, and you. He's going to take you home to where you're going to have a life with no pain, no sorrow, no anything. You're going to be in a place where you don't have to hide from God. He's going to be right there. You're going to be in a place where you don't have to worry about the seas crashing down on you. You're going to be in a place where you don't have to deny Christ for safety's sake. Because he will be right there next to you. He will be right there by your side. You don't even have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. Because he's going to have it all for you. We all have hopes. Some have hopes for money. Some have hopes that we're going to hit the lottery and live big. Some have hope for love and health. Heck, I even have a hope that today Brad Keselowski in NASCAR will win the race. We all have hope. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 25, it says, "Know ye not that which run all? But only one receives the prize. So run that we may attain. And every man that strives for the mastery of this template in all things." Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we, as Christians, an incorruptible crown. You see, everyone, do you see everyone wins? Or do they? You have to believe in Jesus to win this race. You have to have God in your heart to win this race, to get that crown. So that everyone that believes will get the crown. You see, this is not really about hope and no hope. This is about, do you have faith in Jesus Christ or don't you? That's what it's really about. And if we do believe in Christ, why do we worry? If we do believe in Christ, why do we dislike others and play judge? If we do believe in Christ, why don't we love our neighbor? Christ says to love your neighbor. And he doesn't say, love your neighbor who is kind to you. He doesn't say, love your neighbor who just gave you 20 bucks. He says, love your neighbor. All your neighbors. And who's your neighbor? Everyone you meet. Ain't just the guy next door. Ain't just the woman at the grocery store who's always nice to you when you come through. Knows your name. Everyone. He wants you to love everyone, even those who slam the door in your face when you talk about them. Christ is just there for everyone. In Philippians 3:12-14, Paul writes, "Not as though I have already obtained, either we are already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for what is which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I cannot count. I can count not myself to have apprehended. But this is one thing I do, forgetting the things that which are behind, and reaching forth for those which are before. I press toward the mark of for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ." Do you get this? We are to run this race that we know we're not perfect. Paul's saying that he knows we're not perfect. But we're reaching forth and we're pressing forth for the prize. How do we get to that prize? You need to read your Bibles. You need to pray. But most of all, you need to take Jesus out. You need to take him out into the world and talk about him. He goes on in chapter 4, 12-13 to say, "I know how it is to be abused. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both around to be around and to suffer and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So if you have Christ within you, he's going to strengthen you. No matter what's going on in your life. I went through a horrible accident. 4 people died. God strengthened me to get through that. All my parents died within 2 or 3 years. God strengthened me to get through that. God strengthened me when I lost my wife. God strengthened me. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here right now. I promise you that. Look at the world around you. It's getting bad, people. You look at the world now and look at it back in even 2000. It's getting bad. The end times are coming. Everything that God prophesies in the Bible, in his holy word, is coming true. There's Sodom. There's these diseases that are taking over. There's places out there that you can't even talk about Christ without getting stoned or beat up or killed. The world is changing, and it's changing fast. What that means for you and I is that the end is coming. Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. That's great for us. And I'm telling you, everything I just read is probably nothing new to most of you, if not all of you. You probably all know this. Because if you believe in the Holy Bible, you know it's true. And what you need to do is show it. A wise man once told me, God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save it through him. Of course, that was Jesus. You'll find that in John 3:17. And it was probably some months ago that I preached on being like Jesus. Living your life like Jesus. Well, if we're to live our life like Jesus, these are the holy words that I go by. John 3:17. Because if God came into this world to save it, what are we supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to help him with this? Aren't we supposed to let God and the Holy Spirit come down upon us and fill our hearts with joy and love? And if that's true, are we to keep it here inside this building? What did Christ do? If we're to follow him, we need to take it out. It's great to be here in church. You need to be here in this place. If not to hear the word, to spend fellowship with one another, with fellow Christians. But you need to be here to get stronger. But to get stronger, to take it out. To take it out to your neighbors, to take it out to your family, to take it out to the guy next door, to the grocery store, to wherever you walk. We should be filling these pews. Because like I just said, the end times are coming. It's getting worse and worse in this world. And if I don't want to go up there and have God and Jesus say to me, "You didn't spread my word. I showed you in the Bible. This is what I did. This is what my disciples did when I instructed them." And he didn't take great people to do this. Let's face it. He took people like Paul, who was murdering Christians. Changed his heart. I look at it as he changed my heart. And you never know where that seed is going to be planted. Yeah, they might shut the door on you. Yeah, they might say a whole bunch of bad things. You're a Bible thumper or whatever. They might do this to you. They did it to Jesus. And they might do it to you. But that seed might be planted. This woman over here, Faith Patrick, she planted a seed in me so long before I came to Christ. But I watched her in her life. I watched her how she lived. I seen it. I heard the stories. At the time she lost her husband and she was getting ready to marry another gentleman, and she ended up losing him. And I watched her go through all of this but never lost her faith. Who's watching you? What are they seeing? You never know. If people would have seen me years ago, they would have said, "No way." They are saying no way. They're like, "No way. Are you getting up and preaching about God's word at this point?" Not usually. And some of them have come around. So you never, ever know. Some of you know. I've spoken to you years ago. Me and my wife, Martin. We've spoken to you, and now you're here. Some of you. But you never know who's watching you and who's going to come. So we need not to judge, but allow God to judge and allow God to work through each and every one of us. Work through our hearts. Let that Holy Spirit come down upon you and spread it out. But not spread it out here. We can't be pew sitters. We can't say that, "Oh, this is Pastor Jay's job, because he's the pastor of the church." We can't say that it's all, "Well, now it's the council, holy council, church council." Sorry. We can't say that it's the church council's job to go out and reach these people. Because there's so many people around here, just around here, in Bangor, Carnarvon, Slatefeld area, that need to hear. There's so many people out there that are hopeless right now, just like I was back in 2001. that need to hear it, that need to see it. Actions last longer than words. You can tell people a lot of things, but when they see it, and they see that you're honest, and they see that you're doing what you're saying, it's going to mean a lot, and that seed will be planted, and then God can water it. It isn't us who will be saving these people. It wasn't faith who saved me. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God Himself who saved me. It was God Himself who told me to go talk to Pastor Mark and have him counsel me, because I'm a holy wreck and I can't afford a regular counselor, so I'll try him out since we all belong to the church. And it wasn't an accident that somebody bailed out of the men's retreat that year and just happened to be an extra spot. And he told me all I needed to do was to go away for the weekend. Because that Friday night when we got to that place is when I was there. So you never know. Like I said, we're going to share this with everybody. So you love your kids? Everybody loves their kids, I'm sure. Husbands and wives love each other. And your kids, you're going to teach them right from wrong. Because you love them. If you didn't love them, you wouldn't be teaching them anything. You just let them run rampant. Everyone loves their wives and husbands, and most of the time, they're going to show it. I admit, sometimes I don't really... I'm not really there on the husband side. But for the most part, I think I do show that I love my wife, Susan. And what do we expect in return? We don't expect anything in return for doing these things. We do it because we love them. And my point is, all Christ wants from you is to have faith. Just have faith in Him. To let the Holy Spirit come down upon you. To come into your heart. And for you to take it out. Not to hold it in. Not to just keep it here on Sunday. Or a Wednesday night. It's to take it out into that world. To take it out to them unbelievers that are out there. And He doesn't expect anything in return. Because He loves you. That's how much love He has for you. That's all He asks of you, is that you have faith. It doesn't cost you a nickel. And even if I'm wrong, which I'm not, what do you got to lose? So spread His word. And I hope, and it's my prayer, that everybody here now is a believer. And if not, let me know and I'll pray for you. So, in closing, I'm going to shorten this up because I know we have communion. Take Him out. Take Christ out with you. Love Him even more than what you love your wives or your children. Because Christ loves you. He loves you more than you could ever understand. And I don't know why. But He does. I don't know why Christ loves me. After all the things I've pulled in my life and everything like that, I don't know why Christ loves me. But like Paul says, I need to leave that all behind. Just like Christ doesn't, once He forgives you of your sins, He never remembers them again. He doesn't bring them back up. People ask me all the time, how can you just deal with this? I deal with it because I have Christ in my heart. I let the Holy Spirit come down upon me. You're still going to have struggles. Don't get me wrong. The Bible doesn't say that this is all going to be a bed of roses. But what we have to look forward to is that triumphant trumpet calling off and Christ coming down and taking us all home, where our souls and your soul will live forever. Who do you want to live with? Do you want to live with the rest of your family? Do you want them there with you? Do you want your friends and neighbors with you? I would hope so. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you come down upon us now, Lord Jesus, and help us. Push us. Give us that push to get out the door. To spread your word just as your apostles did. Just as you did yourself. As you spread the word of God, we need to be spreading that word of God. Help us to let the Holy Spirit come down upon us, Lord Jesus, and overflow out into this world. Let people see that we love you. Not only hear that we love you, but see that we love you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you bless each and every one here. And if there's one here now, Lord Jesus, that does not have that faith, that doesn't have that belief in you, Lord Jesus, that you would come down upon them now and you would give them that. You would place people in their lives, Lord Jesus, that would show them and plant the seed in them that you can water and bring to your side. We all love you. We want to honor you. And it is in Christ's name that we pray.